Okay. This is Miss Bramley, and the eldest one is Isabella. So Isabella Bramley. I'll call you Izzy, is that okay? What's the sacrifice? Yeah. So you give an animal to God, you know? Have you ever done that? Me either. Okay. So it's an act of killing or slaughtering an animal. I couldn't say the words either, but that's what you got to do. You got to kill it, right? You just can't just, here's an animal, God, for you to put in the pen. No, you kill the animal and a person, or surrendering a possession as an offering to a deity, which means God, okay? That's a definition I got off the internet. Anybody can just Google that one. But what animals were sacrificed in the Bible as worship? Okay, Miss Caminata, hold on. Hannah, a lamb. Okay, there were lambs. What other offerings? Other animals? Nathan? Sheep, lambs? Rams? That's kind of the same family. Help me out on this, my Chinese friends. Isn't it about the same character, Yang? It's used for both rams and lambs and sheep and everything. It kind of is the same thing, right? What's some other animals?
A goat.
A goat? Okay, all right. That's a Yang too. a dove. How about anything big stuff? Boys. Pigeons, okay. That's a pretty big animal. I mean some really big things, big ones. Okay, hold on, I'm going to get somebody has an answer. David. A polar bear. Yes, there's the Holy Land and the Antarctica. They do that. Okay, we're going to stop there. I was looking for some oxen or bulls, you know, the big ones. They were all often sacrificed as well. So here's some bulls, rams, lambs, and doves, pigeons, little birds. But, you know, one of our favorites is the lambs, right? And that's the first thing that came to our mind. And there's certain reasons for that, because you remember that in the Old Testament, they celebrated this holiday, religious holiday for them. It wasn't Christmas. It was called Passover. And Passover was the time that they remembered how God delivered Israel as a nation away from Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. And he was very cruel to the people of God, to Israel. But if they sprinkled blood from the lamb, the Passover lamb, on their doorway, when that happened, then the angel of death passed their home. But if you didn't have that blood, the firstborn of the family, how many of you are the firstborn boys? Firstborn boy, I don't know if I qualify for that, but there's a few of you guys. Well, if you guys were in that time and you didn't have the blood on your door, you know what happened? You died. And Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, his son died. And that finally broke him to let God's people go. As Moses had been telling him, this is God's will that you let his people go, and he did. And then we know the rest of Pharaoh's story. But Passover was something that Jesus celebrated. And the last meal that he ate with his disciples was a Passover meal. And as he ate the bread and drank the wine, that's when he introduced us to what we're going to do later, what we call the Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. But he was remembering Passover, but he's also preparing the disciples for something much more important than a lamb, and that was his own death on the cross. And John the Baptist, when he first met Jesus and then baptized him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that takes away Pastor James's sins, that takes away, you name your name, your sins. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is not just a lamb in a human body, but he's saying this is the sacrifice that is needed to take away sin. So Jesus is the Lamb of God, and you can see the Lamb on the one side, and then Christ on the cross. And this is what the emphasis of Scripture is, that Jesus, the Messiah, came to earth for one purpose, and that is to be this lamb, to die on the cross so you and I could live forever, proven by his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again. Okay, now I think we're ready to look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I'm going to need your help, so you help me out with this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You think we could all read this together so we won't go to sleep, listen to my voice? Let's all read it together. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, Romans 12, 1 and 2. On these first Sundays of the month, I'm trying to share with the children and with you adults verses that to me seem to just grab my, when I look at my history with Christ, my walking with the faith, these are some of the very important ones. And this is a very important one. I'm not quite sure I want to do a good job with this with children, okay? So when you get home, Mom and Dad, you explain it. Remember, you're the priest of your family. This is your job. I'm just trying to supplement it. But your job is to raise your kids up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Well, therefore, in view of God's mercy, that because I understand that Jesus had all these Passover lambs and he delivered Israel, but you know, God sent his son. He loved us so much, he sent his son to die on the cross for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In view of all that, and for moms and dads, you can read Romans 1 through 11, and you can see all the God's mercies that's listed there in that whole book of Romans. But in view of God's mercy, then I offer my body as a living sacrifice. Okay, let me ask you a question. Make sure you're staying awake now. Oh my, didn't work the way I wanted to. Okay, I didn't want to give you the answer. Our bodies are to be what type of sacrifices? That's pretty easy, right? You got the answer already. Aren't you glad we don't have to kill ourselves? We don't have to... Who said no? You want us to kill ourselves? No? Okay. But, you know, we don't have to be a dead sacrifice. Now, no joking aside, there have been people who've told their followers, you need to take this pill, drink the Kool-Aid, right? It's terrible how the evil one can deceive people. But Jesus wants it to be what kind of sacrifices? A living sacrifice, not a dead one. Now, let's see what this thing's all about. Offer your bodies. It involves this living sacrifice, something with my body. You guys got a body? Everybody got a body? You know, some of us don't have any hair, but, you know, but we've got pretty much our bodies all intact, right? We've got everything that makes a body. So this physical thing, I'm a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And this is what I'm saying. What's true and proper worship? Somehow offering this body. That's our worship. Okay. All right. So again, here's the question. What is true and proper worship? Offering our bodies as living sacrifices. I don't know how you think of what a living sacrifice is. This one verse from Galatians 2:20 helps me. Let's all read this one together too. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I'm going to read it one more time. And boys and girls, when you see the red one there, I want you to give it a good shout. Okay? You know what a shout is? Let's just practice. Live!
Live.
Lives!
Lives!
Life!
Life!
Live!
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 Okay, you got it? Okay. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer
live.
but Christ
lives
in me. The
life
I now
live
in the body, I
live
by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm no longer my own. I'm his. He lives in me, and I'm his sacrifice. We'll try to unpack that a little more, okay? So in view of God's mercy, I'm a living sacrifice, and this is my true and proper worship. So if there's no living sacrifice, there can be no worship. I'm not quite sure what my next slide is. Oh, yeah. Recently, been working through some verses on how to be a good parent and just the philosophy of parenting. And some of the men in our discipleship groups, you'll recognize these verses. Remember Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." You know, don't make your kids angry. Kids, does your dad ever make you angry? All the time, right? Okay. Well, that's why it's there in the Bible. It's because we have a tendency to provoke our children to anger. But this is telling us what? But instead, bring up your children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. And another verse that we have been working on that's really hit me is Deuteronomy 6:4 through 7, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these things that I command you today are be in your heart, and you're to do what? You're to teach them diligently to your children, and daily talk of them when you do what? When you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you get up, and when you lie down." Or lie down and get up. Vice versa. But anyway, whatever's going on is what? You're going to talk to your kids. About who? Number one, the Lord. So, it's helped me when I put my feet on the floor, I say this to myself. James, behold, the Lord your God is one. He's the most important thing. It's not Chelsea, it's not Man United, it's not Leicester Football Club. It's not the All Blacks. It's not Harry Potter, it's not Star Wars. It's not communism, it's not capitalism. It's not America, it's not China. The one is God. And you're to love him with all your heart, your might, and your soul as you go about this day, James. And you know what? If there's some little kids in your room, why don't you go wake them up and tell them the same thing? And when you put them to bed at night, why don't you tell them the same thing? So if we as dads are going to raise our family, let's let them know we're what? We're living sacrifices. This is great we come here on Sundays. It is fantastic, and I love to worship with God's people. But moms and dads especially, I'm driving this home to you. You need to tell your children what's number one every day of the week. Every night. And you know why we don't tell them? Shame on us is what? Because we're not being living sacrifices. And kids, you got to pray for your mom and dad. You got to pray for your preacher. You got to pray for the leaders of the church and Elizabeth and Roberto and everybody who's ministering in this church. We too need to keep in mind. We need to remind ourselves, what are we about? We're to be living sacrifices. And then we can do worship in the home and we can do worship at church. D.L. Moody said, "The problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar." That's so true, isn't it? I mean, I can really come here and preach my heart out to you, you know, in about 10 minutes after I walk down and have an argument with someone, perhaps one I love the dearest. What is all that about? The problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar, so I want to know how to keep it on the altar. I think we're giving the answer, is don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be careful. The world is seducing us into its way of thinking, its pattern. And we lose concept of who we are. We're created by God, placed on this planet to bring Him honor and glory in all that we do, whether it's school or work, family, raising a family, what we do collectively as a people of God. All that is why we're here on planet Earth. And then after planet Earth, we go to heaven, and a new heaven and a new earth is going to be created, and Christ is going to rule. This is where we're going. We've got the map road ahead of us, but somehow we get distracted and we think the things of the earth are the most important things. It kind of looks like, I mean, there's different ways to exclaim the to unpack this pattern of the world, but this is the way I wrote it down. It's pattern of the world kind of goes like this with praying. You say, bless me, bless me, bless me. Give me, give me, give me. And I exist to be blessed by God. Now, it's not untrue, and we've been singing about how God cares about us and loves us, and He does. But if we're not careful, we then begin to put ourselves the center of the world, that God exists to bless me, and creation has everything that I need. And so if I'm going to really have a great life, then I'm going to have a great job. I'm going to have a lot of money. My kids are going to go to the best schools. And they're going to grow up and be, I don't know, whatever kind of great world changers. So creation can give me all that I need. But that's not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a people with a transformed mind. And that transformed mind says, thank you, thank you, thank you. Boys and girls, remember when we were praying, singing, and we said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You remember we sang a little song? This is what happens when you understand grace, God's love for you. Then it becomes a life of thanksgiving. It's not all of a life of give me, give me, give me. And it's a declaring, I am yours, I'm yours, I'm yours, and I exist to bless you, Lord. How can I be used of you, God, to fulfill your great commission until you return? How can I be used of you, Lord, to bring you glory in this classroom and school? How can I be used of you to bring glory to you in my household, in the workplace? And the Creator is who I need. What I need is a deepening relationship with you, God. I don't need what creation gives me. I need you. And you know what? I think I'm convinced that Jesus allows the trials in our life to keep us looking to Him, to see that He's the only one who can fulfill what we truly need. Okay, that's one way of thinking of how to keep the sacrifice on the altar, the living one, not crawling off. But in view of God's mercies, you and I, by His grace, are trying to learn what does it mean to really stay on the altar. So when we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, and we're trying by God's grace not to be conformed to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, this is what happens. Read in verse the red there. Adults, let's read this together. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Test and approve. In other words, when you're being this living sacrifice, and then you begin to understand God's will more and more and more, what it says in the Scriptures, how we are to live in relation to God, how we are to live in relation with people, how to love God, how to love people. As we learn that more and more and more, we begin to understand what? It's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. And sometimes we're afraid that God's will is not good enough. I mean, what the world's offering out here looks a little bit better than what God has to offer. No, His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. But, so we're going to test and approve. I'm going to embarrass Chris Robinson. We were on the bus together. Thank you for praying for Bonnie. You may know Bonnie had to be readmitted to the hospital. Her hand's infected. And during this process, going back and forth, I bump into all kinds of guys. And Chris said he was very happy that day because he got this new app, and he tested that app, and sure enough, it worked. He could buy a box drink on his Canadian Visa, but just by flashing his app thing at the 7-Eleven. That's pretty fantastic, isn't it? I saw one today that Dunkin' Donuts is going to have one. You can pay online and you go and you're with this app for Dunkin' Donuts and you can buy your coffee and buy your donut and then just go in and flash that and they give it to you. You can cut right in line. You know that's the one I want. No, but something big, like you want to buy a new automobile or something, and you try it out, and you say, yeah, this is really cool. When you actually buy a smartphone, you try it out, and you say, yeah, this is really neat. This is what I was looking for. This is what really works for me and the place where I do business, and you buy that. You test it and approve it. We're talking about something far more important. And that's when you are a living sacrifice and you're not going to allow yourself to be conformed into the world's pattern of thinking. For you know, dear ones, you know who created you and you know you have a purpose and you are a child of God. And remember, that's how he starts this thing. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Hey, time out. Okay, time for a commercial. Say hello to your brother and sister sitting next to you. Okay, if she's a female, she's a sister. If he's a male, he's a brother. And you know, you may say, well, that's my mom sitting next to me. Nathan, you say hello to your sister, your mom. Your mom's your sister. Say hello, sister. Yeah, I mean it. Because that's who we are in Christ. We're brothers and sisters. As you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, begin to really give ourselves as living sacrifices, we understand more and more the will of God, and it is good. It's great. It's pleasing. It's perfect. So it's pretty simple, the application. Sometimes we overcomplicate Scripture, but it's pretty simple. Test and approve God's will. It's good, pleasing, and perfect. Test it. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's loving and kind. His mercy endures forever and ever. There's no sin, there's no shame that you or I have done that He will not forgive. Humble yourself under the hand of God, and He will lift you up in due course. Test and approve. So I put here, repent, believe, and be baptized. There could be someone here this morning who hasn't committed their life to Christ. The majority of us here say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. I come here Sunday and I worship. But there can be friends here. There can be people who are really trying to figure things out. Yeah, my parents make me go to church, but I'm not quite sure. I'm a teenager. I'm not quite sure if I can really believe all this stuff. But repent means quit doing life alone. You were made to be in relationship to God. And you can't be in relationship to Him alone. You have to come through the Lamb of God, that blood that was shed for you, through faith in Christ alone. Then you can be friends with God and believe that Jesus, when He died on the cross, He actually shed His blood. He became that Lamb of God to take away your sins so that you who are a sinner can become the right person. Remember, there's only been one person who has been righteous. This is what Romans talks about in earlier. You know, our righteousness is from God. It's through faith. Just like Abraham trusted God, and it was accredited to him for righteousness. Many of you boys and girls are very good people. You're good boys and girls. But God doesn't love you because you're good. You know that? He loves you because Jesus, the perfect one, the right one, who made no mistakes ever, ever, in what He thought, what He said, and what He did. He died for you. And that's why God loves you. Now, if you really believe Jesus died for you on the cross, and you want to do life with Him, that's no longer am I going to just do it life by myself. I'm this living sacrifice thing. I'm believing Him. Then you get baptized. And you start. Just a word on baptism. That's why I put baptized there. Some of you guys haven't been baptized yet. You know who you are. You know who I'm talking to. Somewhere in your head, you've got in your head, I've got to reach a certain level of Christian perfection and then I'm accepted. No way. You can never reach a level. There's only one level, and that's the level of faith. Do you believe Jesus died for you on the cross? Yeah, James, I believe that. Are you trying by His grace to follow Him daily and not just do life by yourself and do what your own thing, but you want Him to lead you? Yeah, I'm not too good at it, but I'm trying. Then it's time to get baptized. All right? It's that simple. It's that simple. So do let me know. I if you want to be baptized. I don't want to make anybody be baptized who doesn't profess faith. But if you profess faith, you love Jesus, and you're trying by His grace to follow Him, there's no reason why you shouldn't be baptized. Okay, enough commercial on baptism. Okay, for you adults out there, kids, don't go to sleep. This is mainly for adults. Okay, it is God's will, and this is clearly stated in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. There's only two verses in Scripture that says, and this is God's will for you. I mean, it's pretty clear. There's all of God's will is in this Word of God. It's so rich. But these are only two verses where it distinctly uses those words. It is God's will that we should avoid sexual immorality. You who deal with these temptations, don't be discouraged. Jesus can deliver you. If you need prayer regarding this, guys, you know, sometimes we act like we're so cool, we're rock stars, you know, but deep down we got this shame stuff going on because we have sexual sin that's not confessed, that we're not moving away from, we're not seeking God's help. If you're having that kind of a struggle in prayer, you need some brothers who trust, who you can trust and you can share with. I'd be glad to come along beside you and pray with you. There's not one man in here who's not tempted daily. But brothers, God's warning us, and it's not only just to men, it's to women too, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Last week, Pete and his testimony, it should give the reference. There we go. I like the way Pete did the... How many of you liked the praise service last week? Was that okay? All right, you want to have more of them? I preach less. That's good. Okay, but I thought it went well. I thought it was pretty good. And the way Pete was, I think he ended his prayer, or I can't remember if it was during his prayer, his testimony. But he was using this verse: "The will of God is to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If I wanted to be a reductionist of this verse, I would say, just talk to Jesus, okay? And while you're talking, do a little bit of rejoicing and do thanksgiving and let your anxieties all hang out there. Because what? Father God cares for you. Now, it's interesting. I find it's interesting that in offering your bodies as a living sacrifice and trying to understand the will of God, have my mind transformed so I won't be conformed to the pattern of the world, that there's only two verses in Scriptures, and one deals with sexual purity and the other deals with what? Anxiety. And I imagine I can point my finger to everybody in this room. One of those two is getting at you. The perfect and pleasing and good will of God that we be living sacrifices. Let's pray. Father, we're just scratching the surface. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? And I think all of our life we're going to be going through that. But praise be to you for giving Holy Spirit who lives in us, who brings the Word of God to life and shows us how to apply it and how to have our minds transformed. And I thank you, Father, for the brothers I've been able to have fellowship with in the Word and how you've been touching us on what it means to have a balanced philosophy of parenting, where we love our children, but our goal is that they will understand the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Christ. And so I pray for the families here, Lord, and I pray for moms and dads that we will model a people of God who are living sacrifices. So how do we diligently teach? How do we talk about you? Show us, Holy Spirit, how to do that this week. Father, for those of us who struggle with sexual purity, for those of us who struggle with anxiety, remind us that these bodies are not our own, that the life we now live, we live by faith because you live in us, Lord Jesus. This body is now your holy temple. And we have Holy Spirit in us who shows us that in Christ we can do all things, and that even means overcoming temptation to lust or to worry. And so I pray, calm the hearts of my friends here. Give them hope. Give them strength. Give them power. Lord, we're grateful to you that one of the things you've given to your church is the sacrament of the Lord's table. And right now, we're going to get ready for that. And I just pray your blessings now as we make a transition into celebrating your body given for us and your blood shed for us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Just want to let you know that if God's moving in your heart and you want to know how can I really start this journey with Christ as my Lord and Savior, as a living sacrifice, I'd be glad to talk to you after the service today. But Jesus, when he was on the earth, he gave us something. There's two sacraments, two things, sometimes they're referred to as ordinances, that we celebrate in the Church of Christ, and that's baptism and the Lord's table. Baptism is when you come to faith and you declare, I've been cleaned because I'm now identified with Christ. Christ lives in me, the life I live now, and I'm holy before God. And what we do here is we need this remembrance. We need to remember him. We need to remember him. Why? Because we forget. And we try to perform. We perform under God's standards, and then we beat ourselves up saying God doesn't love us anymore. And we need to be reminded, no, there's only one standard. That was the perfection, the sacrifice of Jesus. And so we confess our sins and eat and drink and celebrate. Our righteousness comes through faith in Christ alone. Others of us have lived lawless lives. And that's not right. It's time to confess those sins too. And say, Lord, I want to keep this living sacrifice on the altar. I don't want to just live like it doesn't matter. So Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that whenever we eat and drink from this table, we need to examine ourselves so that we don't eat and drink in an unworthy manner. I believe it's twofold. One is that we act like we don't have sin. No, we don't need to lie to ourselves or God. We need to confess that sin. And the second way is to think that we're better than anybody else in here. We're all saved sinners. That's it. Let's pray. So, Holy Spirit, search our hearts. Are there unconfessed sins in me and my friends? You hear our heart cry. Forgive us. Lord, do I or anyone here think we're better than anyone else? Forgive us. Maybe some of us have slipped off the altar and we're not being that living sacrifice, particularly when we get up and when we go to bed. We're just not living life as unto you. Forgive us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the extreme, the I don't know if the word's extreme is right. You are the glorious one who sacrificed himself. You, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, who humbled himself to become a person, to go to a cross, to be executed, so that we, together and individually, can be sons and daughters of the Almighty God. Father, we're getting hit with all kinds of messages from the world that we're not important, we don't matter, but that's not right. We do matter. We're your children. And to extend your kingdom until you come. So we celebrate you and we thank you for forgiveness, Lord, and that's all this is. As we eat and we drink, have your way and remind us of who we are in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Scripture tells us on the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Eat in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup. It had wine in it, wine in the cup. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you, for the remission of sins. The way you get rid of sins, the way I clean you up is because I was the Lamb of God." Norman, Dave, and Jesse, Pete, if you'll come forward, please. These are our elders, and we'll prepare the Lord's table. Jesus has promised us that last meal he had was with his disciples, and he said, "You know, I'm not going to eat this bread and drink from this cup until when? Until we get to heaven." And so this is anticipation of the future grace that awaits. Now, we're very open. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and he is your Lord, you're trying to be this living sacrifice, we welcome you. Come on down to take of this bread and this wine. But don't come down if you don't know Jesus, all right? Don't come if there's any pressure. It's all right to bring your children with you to let them see you take the elements, but we're going to celebrate as one body right now who we are in Christ, save people, and praise be to our Lord Jesus. So come down, and the elders behind me will serve you. If you're new, just follow the crowd. I think most people know to come down on your right and then go back up on the left. Okay.
Tell him all about the man that I became and hope that it pleased him. There's so much I want to say, there's so much I want you to know. Never. Words just won't come yet. so amazing what I've seen, so much more than this old mind can hold. Love. Tell him all about the man that I became, and hope that it pleased him. There's so much I want to say, there's so much I want you to know.
When we finally make it home, we will do this together in a grand fashion. I assure you, it will not be in a little plastic cup, and it won't be just a little piece of bread, but it'll be a great feast as we remember the Christ who gave his life for us. Now, the disciples, when they ate, they sang a song, and then they went to the garden, and we're going to sing a song before we're dismissed, and worship team has a song for us to sing. So let's stand.
Yeah, the song that we have is Offering. It's actually a prayer that we're bringing an offering to God. And today, the theme being the offering being our own living sacrifices. So if this is your prayer, won't you join with us?
Living sacrifices by His grace is what we want to be. Now receive benediction. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit make you and I a people who offer ourselves daily as a living sacrifice until we see you, Christ, and celebrate this feast with you. Amen. Thank you, guys.